Off the ball.
Rugby.
I just think that is the power, their ruck speed, and obviously their pace was really significant. And then defensively, they were outstanding as well. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome along to League of Ireland Late Night. We have no Cameron Hill this week. He's a rugby man for the weekend. He is in Rome. So it's Nathan with you tonight. I apologise for having to break off that wonderful background music for League of Ireland Late Night. But as ever with us are Shane Keegan. How are you, Shane?
Not too bad at all, Nathan. Yourself?
I'm all right. It's nice to be back. Nice to be back. And Johnny Ward, where in the world are you?
I'm back in Dublin, Nathan. Just got back from Cheltenham duty there just in time for watching Galway United on the LOI TV and watching a fairly tame Dublin derby actually on the box. So I've six bets in a much closer game, but it's great to be back home.
It's been a pretty wild night yet again, as I think we kind of all predicted in the League of Ireland Premier Division. I'm looking at a league table, and tomorrow night we have Sligo Rovers against Derry City. And if that was to finish in a draw, you would have 6 points separating all 10 teams after six games. It is remarkably tight yet again. Drogheda United are still top of the league despite losing tonight. They were beaten 2-1, their first defeat of the season, by Shamrock Rovers. They went in front in the first half, but Rovers managed to strike back. Goals from Aaron Green and then Graham Burke 20 minutes in time. But all the drama came right at the end. In the 96th minute, Ed McGinty gave away a penalty kick. Drogheda had a chance to equalise, and Ed McGinty saved Shane Farrell's penalty as Rovers hang on for back-to-back victories. Johnny, you were watching Galway United 1, Waterford 0. And Vince Borden's goal means Galway are up to third in the table. They're the only unbeaten side left in the Premier Division. You mentioned the Dublin derby. It was a convincing win in the end for Pats. A 3-0 win against Bohemians. Chris Forrester in the first half. And then off the bench, goals for Mason Melia and Jay McClelland. And the other game saw Shelburne draw 1-1 with Cork City. So is it now, what, four games without a win for Shells? Roy Keating put an impressive Cork in front at Tolka Park. Evan Caffrey equalised with 20 minutes to go for Shells. And the results in the First Division, which have just left my screen, because I'm sure we have plenty of people who want to get in touch around the First Division as well. In the First Division, it was Athlone 2, UCD 1. Dundalk 3-1 winners away at Bray, Cove 2-1 winners away at Finn Harps, and Wexhill winners away at Treaty United. So that is where we stand. You know how this works in League of Ireland Late Night. We want your calls. It is League of Ireland phone-in. Just click on the button on the bottom left-hand side, and if you've been at a game, get in touch, and you can chat to us and give us your thoughts. Shane, what's your big takeaway from the night?
Pats are purring, I suppose, Nathan. That was the one I had my eyes on for the night. Look, I know they got off to a slow start and people were saying maybe they're not all they cracked up to be with their late season form last year, but nah, they're back looking good, Nathan. They have, I used to go on and on every year about just the ridiculous strength and depth that Shamrock Rovers had season on season, but I'll tell you, that Pats squad that they've assembled at the moment isn't looking a million miles off it. It isn't. No Jamie Lennon at the moment, still out injured. Keen Levy, not an option for them at the moment. And then you look at the changes they make and the impact. And I mean, these are not token gesture changes. Like Mason Mealy comes on for Aidan Keenan with more than a half an hour left. Jamie McClelland comes on for Jake Mulrenny with, 25 left. And both players immediately go and contribute with goals. And both were involved in the build-up for the goals as well. Like, they have so many options that if plan A isn't working, plan B is equally effective, if not more so. I think they're looking good.
Johnny, I was asking this question of Vinnie Perthingarten playing on the League of Ireland pod yesterday around Mason Melia and his role so far this season as a number 10 in behind Aidan Keena, and wondering whether the two of them could form a partnership with Melia in behind. We saw Melia dropped out of the side and Brandon Kavanagh came in. Now, obviously, Melia comes on and he replaces Aidan Keena early in the second half. Do you think tonight's performance might have made up in Kenny's mind that it's going to have to be one or the other?
Not necessarily. Like, I saw them against Derry in their last home game, and the two lads were good. And Brandon Kavanagh hasn't started every game, but he was really, really excellent tonight. Came in, and I think you have to kind of change around week to week, see what players are faced, because Pats have, like, it's a shame it's talking about there in relation to their squad. Like, they've had three midfielders out already, and Bagley's obviously back in suspension, but Lennon's still out, Palmer's been out. They've had to change. Brandon Kavanagh, I don't know if any other player has improved as much under Stephen Kenny. Chris Forrester would probably be playing to that level now, but Stephen Kenny has, his man management has really, really worked on some of these players. Ian Keane alluded to it during the week. Brandon Kavanagh was excellent tonight. And Chris Forrester, he was the player of the match of the game against Derry that I was at. I thought he was man of the match tonight again. He was basically the fulcrum of everything that went on. And as I agree with Shane, like I tipped Pats at the start of the season to win the league, basically on the basis that they've spent a lot of money and they've a very good squad. Stephen Kenny got them going at the end of last season. I don't know, though, Nathan, was my takeaway more just how tame it was from Bowles. Like, you look at Galway United are now, off the top of my head, are the only unbeaten team in the league after the win tonight. So draw had lost their unbeaten record. And I've seen pretty much United's games. I've seen them all to some extent. And they're very hard to beat. Now, they've obviously drawn four games, but all of the games, they were well in them, like really, really tough. You come off the pitch like dirty and just like basically knowing you were in the game. You look at Bowes, like they've lost four games already. And I just thought tonight it was funny. As I was getting on the plane and coming back, a fella in the queue was a Bowes fan. And he was talking to me and he was saying how much he loves Virgin Media, having been able to watch the goals around the grounds after the game. But tonight what was great for me was being able to hear the responses from the two camps. And Stephen Kenny was talking up Bowes like quite a lot, and as was Chris Forrester to an extent. I thought Bowes were really poor. Like, I mean, a game like this, Bowes, the two games that they won, they scored the first goal, and that's really important. Very, very important. And Morford, the game was over fairly early. They scored the first goal in Shamrock Rovers. Conceded a really, really poor first goal tonight. Like, Talbot comes on top of his own player, I think it was Flores, and it was a good finish by Forrester. But I don't know, there was, like, you know, Nathan, they have brought in quite a lot. I think they made seven signings in the offseason. They have a management team that absolutely needs time, but that was a listless performance, I thought, tonight. It really wasn't of a team that it has actually improved since the start of the season. This was their sixth game, and Pats were conservative in the second half, but they're 1-0 up, so they were happy to sit back, try and hit them on the break. Forrester with that key pass for the second goal. But I don't know what my takeaway more that Pats were good, or the fact that Bowes just made them look good. I wouldn't have fancied Bowes against anyone tonight, the way they were playing of the nine Premier Division teams.
Yeah, they've lost the most games, Shane. So six games played for Bowes. They had that win on the opening weekend at the Aviva against Shamrock Rovers. Last week, they went to Waterford, who were top of the table at the time. They were under a lot of pressure. Colin Whelan gets the first half hat-trick and eases the pressure on Alan Reynolds. And then tonight, like they never looked like backing it up. What's your thoughts on Bowes?
So disappointed with them, Nathan. I really am. I mean, again, you look at the starting lineup today, and I think there's so much quality in it. I really, really do. And I mean, we spoke about the Pats changes. Like, to be fair, Bowes are bringing on Dale Rooney. They're bringing on Ross Tierney. Like, these are equally impressive players to be springing from your bench. But they're really struggling to get a tune out of them at the moment. Like, the opening day was a fantastic occasion and a brilliant result for them. But it was, you know, again, I wouldn't have called it a virtuoso Bowes performance. They were decent against a jaded-looking Shamrock Rovers. And then, you know, you look at last week and you think, okay, maybe things are going to get moving in the right direction for them. But again, that appears very quickly to have been a false dawn. Like, the players are there. I don't know why they're struggling to get such a tune out of them. I mean, there is a quality there. They should absolutely be a minimum the top half of the table team. I won't write them off completely, but you know, my kind of predictions that the challenge to get into the top four look at the moment look like they're quite a way off. As Johnny said, look, Talbot was poor for that first goal. You know, first goal is vital in a game like that. But yeah, I'd say their fans are extremely frustrated with them at the moment, Nathan. We surely have some Bowes fans on here, do we? They need to talk to us. They must be very frustrated.
Yeah, we want your calls. Really want the thoughts of the Bowes fans, because they're probably the management team under the most pressure. And look, we're only six games into the season, but you thought maybe they could push for a European spot. I know Vinnie Perth was talking about it last week, that he felt as well, when you look at the squad that is there now and the investment that has been put in, it is a squad that should be thinking and be really ambitious about pushing up that table. And when people feel they have the squad, Johnny, and it's not delivering, it's always going to come back in the manager.
Yeah, like they've, the inheritance, I think Rennie would admit he wasn't overly enamoured with, some of the signings that had been made before he came in, and that's fine. And, you know, they still were doing, you know, well initially last season, and then sort of things derailed a bit, and they finished off the season vaguely in the relegation zone, and then they got out of it. But
we lost to Johnny.
I was wondering whether that was just me, Nathan. Yeah, he's gonna be as well.
No, it'll never.
Can you hear me now?
I don't miss this part of it. It was too stressful for Friday night 2 years of doing this. I had to hand it off to a younger man.
Am I back?
You're back, Johnny. You're back.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so like they've been given the resources to sign players. Now, you know, if you're competing against Shamrock Rovers, which haven't necessarily signed that many, obviously Pats, Shelburne have Damien Duff. So you are competing in Dublin. It's a tough market in Dublin. But like Shane says, they have good players. I feel that Colin Whelan could be a real star this season. And Rennie and Seabee will absolutely, they'll have no excuses. Rennie was, he said there was a lot of hurt in the dressing room afterwards. And that's fair enough. But like they haven't been given the signings to make the necessary improvements. They absolutely should be challenging for the top four in terms of budgets and that. And I just feel like the energy around Richmond Park, record crowd in 20 odd years, whatever it was tonight, and the vibe around Richmond Park, which I can definitely attest to, I don't get that vibe at Bowes for since Rennie has come in almost. It's like as if the fans are very, very quick to jump on them if they've had a bad result. And like I'm watching from the TV tonight, but you couldn't hear the Bowes fans at all, really. And it just feels like there isn't the vibe there around the club at the moment, and that they're kind of quick to jump on Rennie's back. But tonight won't help. I thought it was a listless performance.
It's a terrible comparison to make, Shane.
Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say a terrible comparison to make, but the name that keeps coming into my head is Erik ten Hag, and that feeling of once Bowes had any sort of a slip, that the fans were ready to start questioning the manager. There's a sense of inevitability about it.
Yeah, maybe so. And again, you make the comparison with what's going on at Pats. Like apparently that was Pats' biggest home crowd in the last 20 years. You know, like things are looking so much on the up there. But like, listen, you know, you've got two guys who, to say they're respected around the League of Ireland in Rennie and Stevie, I mean, is putting it mildly, you know, two massive names. And, you know, you're looking from the outside going, yeah, like Johnny said, okay, came in, not his own players. Now he's got a bit more of his own stamp on it. You expect big things from them. You definitely do expect big things from them. And like, you can't, you know, you always argue in favour of the manager and give him time and that. And I think he absolutely should be given time. But you can also understand the fans' frustration. Like, you can definitely, it's not like they have no argument here. Reality is they are going to need results and need them fast.
So Galway United, the only undefeated team, Johnny, clean sheet at home, a 1-0 win. I don't know how different you feel the conversation is from last season. Everyone knows that M&DC Park is an incredibly ground to go down to. But again, they've struck gold in the transfer market. It seems like Moses Dyer, who's coming up top, looks a real handful. Maybe not the biggest guy, but they've added well again over the close season.
Absolutely, yeah. Like this kind of risk of, I suppose, changing the system was a little bit unexpected for me, in the sense that trying to face Greg Cunningham in the side, and you know he's been such a massive addition and all of that, and obviously you know the sign, as you mentioned, have been very good. Like Asua has had an outstanding season for me, and they brought Bobby Burns in as well last season. He's kind of come in and made the left side his own. But it's funny, Nathan, just watching them. Like I was in Drogheda 2 weeks ago, and the games take on a kind of a similar enough pattern. Like I think the best goal on the eye Galway United scored this season was the Hickey header against Cork. The rest of them have nearly all been sort of throws or set pieces. And I was sort of on my brain was away this week very much. I was on Cheltenham duty, but I still managed to have a dream that I was on a beach and I was kind of bricking it, but I get into the water because it was very cold. But somehow Keith Long was there. He was on the beach. And I went up to him and said, the match Friday night. And I was like, Galway United, really hard to play against. You know exactly what you're going to expect, but you still can't defend against it. And in the dream, he basically agreed with me. He's like, yeah, we know what to expect, but, you know, they're very hard to deal with. And sure enough, tonight, anyway, Longer, I actually sent him a message the other morning relaying the story. He hasn't replied yet. But anyway, out of the score.
Imagine Longer responding that text.
It was at about 6 in the morning, I think I said. It was a lovely ball into the box. Vince Warden at the back post, really good header. As you mentioned, Nathan, Moses Dyer was good. Never really threatened as well. Like, it was a tame first half, not much happening. Not a game for the purists at all. But I do wonder with this United team where they can go, because I think they're definitely in the argument for potentially finishing in the top four. Every week now, they're really hard to play against, and they've just probably added a little bit of quality in areas that that they didn't have last season. And Greg Cunningham is a massive, massive addition. Like, he really is. He ended last season, obviously, with that injury that was brought on by Ed Irvine, but he's a massive addition. And young Watson going tonight, you know, I did wonder, get on with Brendan Clark. Out playing Derry last week, was a little bit lucky at times, but needs a bit of time. Didn't have much to do tonight, made a really kind of comfortable gathering of the ball high late on to kind of relieve the pressure. And just to be honest, again, not comparing everything to Bowls, but there's such a vibe around the place at the moment, like really good crowds and a real togetherness between the players and the fans. And like, they're just a really, really hard working side. And you nearly aren't really confident week to week that anyone will beat Galway United the way they're playing. Just hard working and a massive win tonight against the team. We're going quite well.
So funny. Anybody who listens to watches the Galway home matches on LOI TV, you have either Keane or Bernie O'Connell, obviously, on commentary, and they always make sure and get a decent bit of Gael gain. But like, between Patrick Hickey and Vincent Borton, it seems that every single week get an opportunity to shout, "On American Moor! On American Moor!" It's like one of the two of them pop up with a goal for them every week.
Hickey had a big chance as well, Nathan. Really big chance, like the best chance of the game, arguably, really, at nil all. And you'd expect it was just, I think, it was Burns overlapping, like the three at the back, and you know, has its chain user that in Terryland as well. Obviously, has its benefits and its drawbacks, but when you have that overlapping fullback and Moses Dyer played him in, he dinked it to the back post, and Hickey just didn't really connect well enough to head or put it across goal. But I love the togetherness of the team, like since the last sort of couple of seasons, they seem to be an Ollie Horgan walking with this well. They just seem to be a really good bunch of players, and I don't know. I am beginning to believe Galway United in a league that's ridiculously competitive should definitely be targeting top four.
We want to get some calls in. Click on that button on the bottom left hand corner. It's quiet so far tonight. Maybe everybody's just comfortable enough with how the start of this season has gone.
Intimidated by you, Nathan.
never. I think they're wondering how you could ever top Johnny Ward's story of the dream and keep on. Is it Keith? Things weren't going bad enough for Keith this week. Then he gets bloody hell. He gets that message from Johnny. Just on Galway, Shane. Asua on the right looks a heck of a player, and like, you hope they can keep hold of him. You think back to last season, and Kazim was so good at left back, and then he goes to Pats, and he's sort of been stuck on the bench ever since. But Jesus, Asua is as good as you'll see in the league on the right hand side.
Yeah. Jeez, he's got some energy levels, hasn't he? My God, he gets up and up and back and up and back all day long. No, he's been impressive. It'd be interesting to know how that... Do you have any background on how that one came about? Like, because I don't even... Ekanas was his last team. What league do they even play in? I don't know.
I think it's the Finnish second division, is it?
Is it? Yeah. I'd be interested to know where that signing came from. Was it, you know, an approach from an agent, or how did they come across this
family? Johnny Ward had a dream.
I have a dream that Genoa Stewart will sign for God. Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. Like, Ollie Horgan had, and I don't know if Ollie had any role in this, but he did have a tendency to pluck some players from fairly obscure places at Harps. You know, he himself and John Caulfield, they're I think somebody in our podcast was asking, imagine having the two of them on together on a podcast. Like, he's obviously from Cameroon, and it was a fairly exotic addition, but so were, you know, even Borden coming in as well before that. And like, United have been happy to kind of, I suppose, span the net wide, but he's been excellent this season, like really, really excellent. He's thrived in that new role and has a lot of energy, real fans' favourite as well. And I have to say that, like, United have signed very well the last couple of seasons, and probably not the most flashy signs in the world. It wouldn't be like lashing the sort of money around that's been thrown around elsewhere, but I think the key that one of the things that they really put an awful lot of emphasis in, and John Russell has probably found this to an extent in Sligo, that you learn a bit on the job, is that the right caliber of character coming in, and the right caliber of player coming in that will buy in and won't necessarily throw the toys out the pram if he's not starting. And as soon as seems to be like that, it's just a special place at the moment, the whole club.
And I'd wonder, Johnny, I'm looking here, so we're six games in and they've scored 8 goals. Would you know, I'm sure you've seen most of them, just wondering off the top of my head, how many of them have they actually scored with their feet? I would say they've surely scored more headers than they have. They've scored more with their head than they've kicked, I would have thought.
Yeah, so Borden scored in Cork. That was a sort of a lead from a corner for the second goal. I was trying to think of that before it came on, but they're nearly all headers. Killian Bruder scored. It was actually a brilliant finishing draw. Like, it was an improvised hooked finish with his feet, because he couldn't actually get his head down to 4 feet off the ground. So he put his his boot to it. But they just worked hard in the game. And something struck me that day as well. Like just Moses Dyer, I don't think he'd scored up until he hadn't scored at that stage. He came over, like he was part of the players that all came over clapping the fans afterwards. Things, but there was a real togetherness among the players, even players that were taken off that day. There was a real togetherness, and they just work hard. And you know yourselves, lads, like Galway is a fantastic city, like it is an absolutely special place. And I'd say the newcomers just love being part of this and the buzz there is about the League of Ireland. And I'm sure working under JC and Ollie Horgan, it's nothing if not a bit of crack as well.
Speaking about bringing the right characters in as well, what Greg Cunningham has brought Johnny since his arrival back at the club, both, you know, as sort of a leader and with all of that experience. But geez, every time I watch him, the bit of class that just shines through, because look, as we know, players come back, particularly at that age, you know, it's not as if he's coming back having gone for a couple of years. You know, he's naturally coming towards the end of his career, and sometimes he can sort of struggle to even get to the ferocity of the games. Every time he gets on the ball, there's just the oozes quality.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed. Like at times now in Drogheda, he's caught a little bit because, you know, his pace isn't obviously what it was, but exactly what you say, Nathan, that calmness on the ball oozes quality. Like he looks like a player at times. You could see, oh yeah, well, this guy has played, and like he's played at the top level, and like he was playing not that long ago at all, was playing the championship for Preston despite having, you know, the odd injury and that. And he's a really inspiring story as well, because he was, you know, when Greg was starting off, he played for Merview and then he went to Man City, and you know, there were a lot of Gaul regions who didn't play for Gaul United and probably never will as well. And thankfully he was one that, for him to come back and to take the mantle of like being this kind of leader and speaking so positively about coming back, and what almost like a fresh start late in your career to come back to a league that is really on the up, as opposed to he probably had enough of life in England at that stage, but he saw it as a project as well, something that he could do for his home city and bring young players along. And I'd say it's just really inspiring to be in the dressing room with someone like that. And I should mention as well, like, Gaul United have good centre-backs. Like, you know, Killian Reid is a good player. Slevin is a good player as well. These are good players. And they're leaders of men as well. And to bring him into it, you can see why they conceded so few goals. And, like, Morrison barely had a shot tonight, to be honest. It was just very comfortable. And Cunningham was, he was arguably one of the most high-profile signings in the League of Ireland, full stop, in recent years, given his CV in England.
Coming soon to your Off the Ball podcast feed.
I'm nervous. Police will use tear gas.
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
Saying we won after your team's won a football game is like saying I had sex after I'm watching Paul.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things all the way through Latin America.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Available soon for free on the OTB app.
So much of what we want to do can seem impossible, but the highest achievers among us are the people still reaching for something, the ones who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. It's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined through thoroughly modern design. It's got a tough, rigid body design and durable, lightweight monocoque architecture for extra strength. With precise detailing and compelling proportions, the exterior of the Defender is designed with integrity. This is a vehicle capable of great things, engineered to meet challenges head-on with an exterior that's been tested to the extreme. Experience the Defender's legendary capability off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. So, are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
I was flicking between lots of games and had one of those terrible nights where I felt like I missed every single goal live, so ended up just watching the back afterwards. I ended up probably watching more shells than anything else. I don't know how much you saw of this, Shane. Obviously, having made such a brilliant start, both in terms of results in the first couple of weeks, but also how good they were going forward. A little bit of a stutter since then for Shells. What are you putting it down to?
Yeah, it's more than a little, to be honest with you. It's four games without a win, isn't it? Three points in their last four games. And it's not like they've had the hard run during that period either. So yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't see any of it tonight, so I didn't bar the goals. I didn't see the goals, that was all. I mean, I don't know, maybe somebody can tell me whether the initial Cork shot got a deflection. I don't know, have you seen
massive deflection.
Yeah, okay. That explains a little bit more, all right. But yeah, look, they'll be very disappointed. Duffer will have to be disappointed the way things have slowed up for them. I see, you know, he tweaked things around again a little bit tonight. You know, we were all wondering how often could they get away with kind of the out and out front two of Miko and Sean. And they let Miko out tonight and Sean up top on his own. Well, when I say on his own, now obviously Ellis Chapman will be fairly close to him, but
is that not a bit mad, Shane?
Struggling to leave him out.
Well, it depends. With respect to Cork City, you'd imagine they'd be sort of on the front foot. Maybe Chapman just needs to get game time. And Meepo's had a relatively quiet start as well.
Yeah, it surprised me. It definitely surprised. It surprised my fantasy football team, Nathan, anyway, that's for sure, because he's supposed to be up banging in the goals for me there. But no, look, it was because he's been so lively. Like, he's been such an entertaining player to watch in the early rounds. But look, again, it was probably a strange game to see him left out, or a strange game to see him rested in. Look, I mean, it's not like he's been dropped for a dud. Like, Ellis Chapman was one of the best players in the league last year. You know, this guy, you know, needs his opportunity as well. But yeah, just I think Kyler was left out as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I was saying things earlier on. Yeah. And was left out as well. So two kind of big players to be left out of the side, but Duffer obviously not overly impressed with the recent performances, decided that he needed to shuffle things around a little bit. Look, I wouldn't be pressing, you know, any panic buttons there at all, Nathan, really, to be honest with you. I think I will say I would give Shells more of a chance to win the league now than before a ball was kicked. I didn't see them being in the title race, which sounds a mad thing to say, and you know, Shells fans will say, well, you should not be clown like, but I actually genuinely didn't see them being involved in the title race before a ball was kicked. And now, based on what I've seen over the last couple of weeks, both from them and from the other teams, I think they're as good as anybody else in the league, really, to be honest with you. So I do think they will be there or thereabouts come the end.
I've said this, Nathan, I honestly feel like it's like if you had a sort of 50 mates and you had to pick 10 five-a-side teams for a tournament just to kick around for the day, and you were like, we want to make these teams. It's so competitive. Like, Cork City have been really, really competitive. They've been, you know, they obviously lost in controversial standard ways in Rochford, but they've been very good. And like tonight, a massive result for me was Shamrock Rovers going 1-0 down in Drogheda, who have already won away at, they've gone to Pats, they've gone to Bowes, and they've gone to Shells and gotten 7 points on the travels without some of their key players. Went 1-0 up tonight. And Rovers, that was a massive win. I thought Graham Burke's finish was absolute quality. Like, quality. Wasn't expecting him to go even in that corner. And Rovers,
how good was his first touch before that?
He's just so amazing. I love watching him play. And for them to...
Just a quick one there as well. You know, got a quick text here from somebody that's on the call listening to us chatting and did make a quick point there. You know, we're asking about Beepo, we're asking about Mark Coyle.
They'd nailed it.
Report a virus. Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that, here, I want to get to a caller because Dermot O'Dolig is waiting patiently. Thanks for calling in, Dermot. How are you getting on?
Hey, lads, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Loud and clear. What do you want to talk about?
Just what you were just talking about there, the Shells against City match. Like, I know that Duffer was saying that there was a virus in the camp, but I thought Shells were really not up to that much, especially in the first half. And if anything, I think City scored a bit too early and then sat back and invited Shells on. And I thought that Shells came into it then, but when there wasn't an onus on them to attack, I thought they were really poor. And I know that what you were just saying there about them, I mean, that's an excuse to an extent, but geez, they were awful in the first half, especially, I thought.
You're obviously a Cork man going by the accent. What have you made of yourself so far?
We've been better than expected, I think. Coming up from the first division, like, we shed a lot of players, and I think we needed to, you know, and some, you know, some you'd agree with and some you wouldn't. And bringing people in from outside the league is a gamble always. But I think most of them, the evidence so far seems to say that they're decent enough signings. It's early, but signs are good so far.
Benny Couto, Dermot, he was one that caught my eye in what I've seen of him so far. He looks decent.
He does. He's one of these kind of buccaneering fullbacks. He's always looking to go forward with the ball. Defensively, he's been maybe a little bit suspect, but you know, he's kind of held his own. What I like about him is that, you know, when we did go a goal up tonight, like the other lads, maybe the rest of the back four were kind of looking to get rid as soon as the ball fell to them, whereas he was, he had his head up and he was kind of looking to drive on and looking to find a man. Whereas, you know, I think that's an attitude that might serve us well. I think maybe a little bit of an experience might cost us, you know, where if we'd scored after kind of 85 minutes, we might have held on, whereas we maybe scored a bit too early and then invited shells on. But I think he's decent. You know, he's certainly, his attitude is good. I really like Mbeng as well. I think Mbeng could be a star for us.
Yeah, Dan was on about him in the podcast. I've heard like scoring in the second minute being too early, but in the 49th minute, is that too early?
way too early for us, like given our history, like, you know, like if you scored before the 84th minute for us, I think that's a bit too early.
I'll tell you one thing, whatever about how Cork City's business will affect Cork City season, Cork City's business has effectively handed Cove Ramblers the first division title, I reckon. the whole Cork team is gone to, they're absolutely loving it. Two Cork City boys, former Cork City boys with the goals there again for Cove tonight. It's must be strange seeing so many of them down the road, Dermot, is it?
You have a few pangs of regret there, I'd say, shouldn't you?
I tell you what, I when I saw them going up and Watford already been up, and then you hear Niall O'Keefe gone and Shane Griffin gone, I thought to myself, they might get a few of these fellas, but geez, they got them all, so they did. And yeah, it's looking good for them now, so it is. But listen, on the flip side, he got Charlie Lyons. That's all that matters.
Sure, look, I mean, there are varying opinions there, but certainly he'll pick up his fair share of fines for Booking. Is that his fourth Booking of the season tonight, is it? Fifth, maybe?
He's an absolute madman, lads. That man is nuts. obviously, this is during a time where they were allowed to Nathan, so I'm not getting them in trouble. But that man loves going on foreign holidays, getting about 10 pints deep, and then FaceTiming me with stupid phone calls when he's plastered. He's the funniest man alive.
Wow, I thought that was out of the game.
That's what Dermot wants to hear about one of his players.
Our captain.
You have to let your hair down when you have a break week, so you do.
All season though, right?
He is a super, and I'll tell you, he's a serious player.
Yeah, keep an eye on this thing, Jeremy, because it is a break week. how's Alec Nolan getting on? I was chatting him before the start of the season, and I know, you know, he kind of had a big decision to go down there and leave Pat, still very young.
Yeah, fair play. Like, he is, as you say, he's young. Like, he didn't start the first couple, like, injuries might have worked in his favour to an extent. Certainly he's got a trick in him and he can beat a man. And I think the first half in Waterford, like, I know it was live on TV, so you probably, like, a lot of people saw it probably, that kind of encapsulated, like, him so far. Like, the goal was, you know, he got the ball in the corner, there was nothing on, he beat a man, he fired it into the top corner from a tight angle. But then there was a chance that was maybe 0.95 XG and he, you know, rolled it wide with, you know, only the keeper to beat kind of thing. So, look, he's young, he'll learn. He's got bags of potential. Sure, we'll see how he goes. Like, so far, things again are decent. Like,
just before we let you go, Dermot, in terms of season as a whole, so what is it, 6 points from the 5 games, 1 win, 3 draws, 1 defeat? What's the general vibe down there?
To speak of a general vibe, frankly, but because we're not the most united fan base of the best fans. But look, from my own point of view, it's a decent start. Like, I'd love to have had that match in Tala, because I think we would have caught Rovers cold. They were in a bad, you know, state at the time after the Molde match. I think we would have got something from that. I think that would have really helped us in a lot of ways. But you know, 6 points from 5, that's okay. It's all right. Like, depending on who you speak to, you know, 6th, 7th will be a decent finish the season. The elephant in the room is the ownership situation and the ticket prices and the whole lot.
Is that still a big talking point?
Oh, massive. Yeah. Massive, Johnny. Yeah, massive. Yeah, like it's like €25 is a lot of money, and more than that, you know, €18 to bring a 12-year-old to a football match is nuts.
Yeah, I did an interview with Dermot. I just found it. He's very frank, like, but his model is kind of more trying to run the business than a football club. But see how it goes, I suppose.
You can have your own. You know, people have different views on that. My own is that, you know, for teenagers to go to a football match should be horrible, and €18 to me is too much. It's too much money. Like,
I'd agree.
It's ludicrous. Look, there we are, and that's I think that's the subtext here. I think the team needs to be successful in order for Usher to kind of prove himself correct. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think this could go one or two ways. Like, it could go really badly. Usher looks silly, and it could go really well, and I hope he is proved correct. But I think that's the whole subtext, and that's a big issue.
Ticket prices are an interesting one. I it's funny I brought this up as well. Like, I work in journalism, and as a freelance journalist, you don't necessarily get a wage increase at all. You just hold on to work if you can at all. So I'm not living in line with inflation, but I still think. And maybe I'm wrong, I still think a score is enough for any League of Ireland game. I actually still think that's just enough for the standard you're going in to watch relative to watching leagues around Europe. I think a score is plenty. Maybe I'm wrong.
I assume you're talking about
Abbott
there.
I still think £20 in is enough for any League of Ireland game. I still think it is.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And I think you go lower. If there's any doubt for kids, you go lower, especially for kids.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, kid. Like, I think that's the big bugbear of mine in particular. Anyway, is that if, like, I've got a 6-year-old, like, and like, he's not that interested. But last year, if he was, you know, I will not, Johnny. That's obscene. But if I wanted to bring him, and if I got a whim, like, it would be €5 or whatever. This year, it's double that. You know, it's not that massive amount of money, but it's just double the price. And I think the bigger one is for teenagers to pay €18, like. That's like €18 for me as a teenager. I know, with inflation and everything, that's probably £10 or whatever. But that was a lot of money.
I guess as well, when you look at some of the other grounds, it's the teenagers who bring the atmosphere.
That's the thing. Yeah. And that's and they're the ones that'll be coming for years and years and years. And I don't know. Like, I've gone off in a direction that I wasn't.
It's going to really.
But his challenge, Nathan, is his challenge is to run. He's set himself a challenge. A club that he'd know. Dermot had no relationship with Cork City. He's not an outside owner in the sense of being like the Glazers, but he's still an outside owner. And he basically set himself a challenge to see could he run a football club successfully as a business. And that's kind of the way he's gone about it. I think £18 is far too much for a minor. I'd agree totally on that.
But do you not think then, Johnny, would it not be a concern if he can't run this successfully as a business by charging proper prices?
But you can't run a football club. Like, who has successfully run a football club?
Tony Bloom does. Like, you can't. It's not that you can, Shane. If you have a Tony Bloom type model, or you make good. Like, you know, you look at the money Sean McCorvus made in the last year. Now, that was on the premise of good results in Europe. So League of Ireland wages are still relatively low, and like, League of Ireland clubs aren't obscenely expensive to run. And Bowes are showing what you can do on the merchandise side of it, and Cork City are going into that as well. It's not fanciful. It's difficult, but it's not fanciful. I just don't think the way about it is to piss off people with ticket prices.
Jeremy, thanks for the call. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Gavin Smith is with us. How are you, Gavin?
Not too bad.
Not too bad or not too good?
Not good.
What do you want to talk about?
The Bowes and Pats game.
Yeah, I'm unhappy Bowes fan.
Very unhappy. I thought we could bounce back from last week's win in Waterford, but I wasn't at the game, but the performance tonight was how I describe it, disgraceful. I have never seen Bowes that bad in the core in years.
Yeah, why do you think it was that bad?
It's just the defending is just terrible at the moment. Like, JT on the first goal, I don't know what he was doing. And then we just never got going. Like, we have good players in attack, but the problem is just not with Andrew Reynolds. I think some of the players are not good enough.
Yeah, it was interesting as well, seeing Kenny reference the small players that Pats had to play. They've obviously players out. And didn't really look like Bowes ever really threatened from set pieces either.
No, but it's a good thing Bowes have 2 weeks off, because we have a tricky game coming up. I guess high-flying them, go away, Dame, man.
Absolutely, high-flying, yeah. We should be known as that from here on.
Like, if we lose that game, the ground, we'd be very toxic with people calling for Andy Reynolds to go. Like, I believe Andy Reynolds is the world man, but if we so don't prove over the next 4 weeks, I think the best decision for the clubs to play base with him, because some of his decision making is clueless. Every week he changes the starting 11 every week, and that's not good in the league of Ireland.
It is interesting, Nathan, that I didn't actually realise that United's next game is away at Bowes on Friday the 28th of March, because that is the corresponding game last season. Bowes were brutal, like Galway United won and Bowes were really poor, and I spoke about the contrast in the two teams in terms of, you know, how hard they are to play against at the moment. That, like, you can just feel, I can already feel the atmosphere turning sour if Galway United start kind of getting on top in that game. That will be fascinating, because regardless of what you say, it is a results game, and many will know that, like, there are some fans that are unhappy, plenty of fans at the moment.
And there is almost this weird sense, Shane, when you talk about a game of Bowes against Galway United, that's a game Bowes should be winning. But actually, there's nothing that we've seen over the last 18 months that would suggest that Bowes should win that game.
I agree with that. But it's great to see Dame and Park being sold out every home game. But it's the home form under Andy Reynolds has just been a disaster. I don't know the figure on the top of my head how many home wins Reynolds has got since he came into the club. Like, we're supposed to turn Dame and Park into a fortress, but we can't. It's like a library. Every time we go, down, I can see the players' heads just drop. And for me, that's just not good enough.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Gavin.
Thank you.
I'm wary of allowing this person on, considering they're called the Irish Chancellor, but we'll give you a go. Give us your real name and you can come on and have a chat.
Thank you very much. My name is Nathan.
Ah, well then, listen, you're absolutely allowed that.
Worse again.
Quite there now, Johnny. What do you want to talk about, Nathan?
I'd like to talk about the officiating in the Shamrock Rovers versus Paul, who would make some frogs. Sorry, got to see those similar badges against Strahada tonight.
What was your issue with it?
The officiating, it was very much all over the place. Shamrock Rovers were, both Shamrock Rovers and Drogheda were denied some very clear decisions. Drogheda were very good on the counter attack, I must say myself. They had, I think it was Conor Keely, had ran past Dan O'Cleary. Pigo was ahead of him and it was given as an offside. It shouldn't have been an offside. Now, I'm pretty sure that was a call. It might have been a foul, actually, thinking back at it now, because I think Arvasanya was on the floor. Not Arvasanya, you know, Ozzy Anzuna was on the floor. But it was a great chance for Conor Keely. He could have converted it and equalised, but unfortunately, it was given. And then that penalty at the end, that whole thing, that was something else, let me tell you.
What happened there?
What happened was, I couldn't tell you now. I don't know the Drogheda squad off the top of my head. But what happened was there was a ball played into the box, right? Drogheda were attacking, right? And what had happened was Ed McGinty was coming out for it, right? He had already had his arms extended as he was running out. There was nobody in his way. And what happened was one of the Drogheda United players decided, you know what? I'm going to run straight into his arms. So the Drogheda United player was nowhere near the ball, went head first into his arms, fell straight to the floor, and the penalty was given. There was outrage and murder. Because it was very clear, like, from any point of view, that he went into the goalkeeper's arms. Goalkeeper done nothing wrong against McGinty. And I was talking to the Drogheda fans, right? I have mates that are Drogheda fans, and they were like, yeah, no, that's quite a blatant dive. Like, I won't complain about a penalty, even though we didn't score it. But it was quite a blatant and obvious dive, and the officiating needs to have a check.
I thought from the replay, I don't know if you saw it, Shane or Johnny, I thought it was probably a penalty. Now, it's one of those that I know. Sometimes they say the rule is the keeper is always have to get the ball, you know, when he goes out for the challenge and he makes an attempt for it. But he definitely had the arms outstretched, didn't get the ball, and went straight through the player.
Yeah, no, I agree that. I see what you're on about. I can absolutely say that. But from like my perspective, from what I had seen, very much even on the replay, it looks like the player ran into the keeper's arms. It could go either way. And don't get me wrong, I could be wrong. Well, I think that in any situation, it would be a penalty. But I think there was some form of blatancy to it. But again, that's just my opinion. Like I'm no doctor. I'm no professional.
did Rovers deserve to win the game?
I think. Overall, I'd say yes. Matt Healy was absolutely brilliant. What a signing he has been for the Hoops. Danny Grant as well has picked up form recently. He's been phenomenal. I'd say Galway are very good on the press, very good with pressure, also quite electric on the counter attack. But I think overall, Shamrock Rovers has had the game in their hands at the end of the day. I think it was scary, you know, with Shamrock Rovers being on the run of form that they're on and not doing so well. They always have a shaky start to the season, but going up against the current league leaders, there was definitely that heavy feeling in the air going, okay, we might not come out here with a very good result. But the lads went in, they've done it, they pulled it off somehow, and people are very happy.
How do you feel, Nathan, about going through the rest of the season with 2 35-year-olds and the 16-year-old as your striking options?
I think Greener and Gaffney are past their best days. Gaffney is running around like the crumbled gingerbread man that he is.
That's very harsh. He's just back from a year out here.
And look,
his hair is.
Yeah, that's the problem. He was out for a year. Aaron Green, do you know what? He's lost his pace, but he's still got his flair. I think if Aaron Green didn't have the skills he had, I don't think he'd survive. Michael Noonan, however, he's a promising prospect. What he's done in the Conference League, obviously, absolutely historical to be the youngest ever player to score in a UEFA competition. What an achievement at 16 years old. I think he's definitely one for the future. Does he have it to play in the league? I'd say he's a bit shaky, but I'd say give him about a season and he'll fit right into the role. I think Rovers getting rid of Mark McNulty was a bit of a shaky choice, considering that he is quite an experienced striker, but at the end of the day he's a journeyman, so but we need to go for an attacker in the summer.
All right, Nathan, thanks a lot for the call.
All right, cheers, no boss.
That's quite the takedown of their attacking options there, Shane. Bloody hell.
Well, I tell you what, Aaron Green got a massive goal. He actually didn't look that slow tonight. I don't know. I mean, that was a massive win to be, draw down beat and all of that. And Rovers, I don't know, Shane, how this works for Shamrock Rovers, in that this has never really been done before. For one season, just literally bleeds into the next, where you're kind of like, okay, well, we need to take a break, but we kind of don't, and we have to start the season well because we don't want to fall far behind. And we have a 16-year-old starting up front, and we've lost three of our fast players, we've lost three of our key players, and all of a sudden Rovers are looking quite rosy.
Can't hear you there, Shane. No, I think Shane's having some technical issues, unfortunately. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that Matty Healy, who is one of the players who came in and obviously didn't play in Europe, has sort of been the one standout player so far. And he definitely, like, one of the most interesting things with Rovers so far this season, Johnny, is the fact that Gary O'Neill has dropped out of the side. That, you know, somebody who was such a mainstay of that team for the last couple of years at the base of the midfield, that he hasn't been in the starting lineup for some of the big games at the start of the year. And they brought in Matty Healy, who they obviously feel can bring something a bit different, you know, maybe happier to get forward a little bit more often, but you'd wonder long term how that'll work out.
Yeah, I like Gary had been Shane's been a big fan of Gary for a long time. He's been massive for Shamrock Rovers, a really, really key player who's willing to do all the things, but sacrificed his own game to an extent to be that nuts and bolts player who kept the ball, never gave it away, and won the ball back and was that real holding player. I didn't feel last season he was at his best for whatever reason. I'm sure he would have his reasons for that. But they have a lot of players in midfield. But when you think about it, if Gary O'Neill is kind of ready to come back in, Jack Byrne came off the bench last week. Danny Mandroy is obviously going to come in as well. And they let Poom go, but they still have a load of quality in midfield. I have been impressed by Healy as well. Like, he does look a player. The range of passing, like, and in fairness to Bradshaw, he rarely signs players that don't do the job. But yeah, it has been interesting, that midfield. I think Rovers are playing the long game here. Like, the league is just so, you can basically, at the moment, if you drop points, you can pretty sure everyone else is going to be dropping points, if not this week, the week after. And I think Bradshaw, whilst will inevitably be conscious of the fact we have to not have a terrible start, he knows they are playing the long game this season and they don't have Champions League football to worry about either.
Yeah, let's run through a couple of calls just before we finish up. Let's go to our colleague Stephen Doyle, who was up on commentary tonight for Off the Ball in Drogheda. Stephen, you've been chatting to the manager.
I have indeed, Nathan. Unsurprisingly, Stephen Bradley was the first boss I spoke to. He was looking quite chipper after tonight's result. I had to say, the manner of the Rovers win, look, I know it was a bit of a dramatic finish with the penalty missed by Shane Farrell. But as we all know, if you go a goal down to Drogheda United, they're a very hard side to break down. And we've seen that in the last 2 weeks with Shelburne and with Bohemians. But Shamrock Rovers kept plugging away. And I heard you speaking about Matt Healy just there. Just the orchestrator of it all. He's the conductor, just sitting that deep line midfield position, spraying the ball around left and right. I tell you, I was very impressed by actually Corey O'Sullivan. He's in that back three as a left centre back, but my God, he's like an auxiliary wing back, because he's making those runs down the left hand side alongside Josh Honohan, and that's really difficult for any side to defend against. Still, obviously, only 18 years of age. I think we're going to see a lot more of him over the coming years. Really impressed with his performance, but I think Stephen Bradley was as well. Again, I spoke about Roberto Lopez, his experience in just game at the back, making good blocks, making good tackles. But they just kind of kept probing and probing at Drogheda. Now, the Drogheda boss, Kevin Doherty, I think he was kind of disappointed with the fact that they really, he kind of felt that they kind of gifted Rovers the goals. And he said, look, he wasn't taking anything away from
the first goal.
We're getting a lot of feedback.
Sorry, yeah. Can you hear me?
I'm not sure what's going on with this. So I'll go to Tommy James, who's been waiting patiently for the last few minutes.
Thanks, lads. Fair play to us. Who's top of the league?
Well, you're still top of the league, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks. Because I feel like maybe Drogheda doesn't get the respect from a lot of clubs. Maybe the Dublin Central clubs or other clubs, but like FAI Cup holders, and like we went full time this year. There's a lot of investment going on behind the scenes, and great start to the season. Now tonight, maybe Rovers shaved it a bit. Like the penalty, I don't know. I missed the penalty. I was in the toilet actually, and then I just heard the chair, and I was like, it's not goal, but it's something, and I come out and seen. The panel was probably a weak panel from Farlow. Like, maybe didn't have a great game. He did a bit of a slip earlier in front of the Rovers fans and
Tommy,
a bit of a chair.
Can I stop you there for a second now? And I don't want to get too personal on it. You were in the Jacks at the 96th minute as you're.
Yeah,
you have to go, Nathan.
Yeah, well, you have to go to the toilet. When nature calls, like, I don't pick the times when to go to the toilet. But I come out and seen the panel. I just heard the chair. So I don't know if it was due, but I thought we should have had one. I don't know if it was, I think it was maybe late first half or early second half. There was a couple of decisions again, like they are, but I think that happens every team. I think that's fair enough. But like apart from tonight, like we're still top of the league, like really solid start. Look good in defence, keeper's excellent, and we're missing 2-3 players as well. So
yeah,
if they come back, like you'd like to push on, like at least not be in the bottom half of the table at the second half of the season. I think we'd be all of that from Drogheda.
Shane, are you back with us?
Shane was the guy at the toilet.
At the crucial moment. Kev Doherty was obviously saying at the start of the season, and he was right, that people were writing them off, that they were a lot of people's tips for relegation. I don't know if they were.
We were favourites to go down, and still might, like, it could still happen.
I think in fairness, Johnny, most people probably looked at Drogheda and thought they're going to have this European campaign, and that, like, they'll probably be in the mix for the relegation fight with Cork and potentially with Sligo. But the one thing I think most people have acknowledged is that, you know, Kev Doherty has the experience of guiding them through any of these sort of turbulent times. And also, like, they've got some decent players there, and he knows how to get a tune out of them.
Yeah, and, you know, they've pretty much gone thing as well, which I do think must make a big difference, especially for the double weekend games. But, like, what I'm hearing from Drogheda, and I don't believe this to be wrong, is that they've the lowest budget in the league. And if that is the case, generally budgets dictate how a team should get on. Drogheda should be expected to be down in the bottom three or four. What's impressed me is that they've had two strikers out, they've had a really excellent right back out, and they've just been really, really good so far. That, you know, but it was kind of written in the stars after all the love that Kev got this week and big piece from Kevin Doyle on the RT website that they would lose tonight, and even the manner that they did. But they, I don't remember a league, Nathan, where a team could very, very easily be challenging for fourth or could very easily be trying not to finish in the bottom two.
Yeah, it's going to be a fairly wild ride, I think, over the next few months. Seems like we're having a few technical difficulties as we come to the end of this.
Can you hear me now, Nathan? Oh, no?
That's what the problem is. Wow, miraculous. A miraculous recovery from Shane Keegan. Shane, you've been silent for the last 20 minutes. You probably have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, a lot of people probably wanted to silence me, Nathan, on many occasions. So they got their wish there. No, I don't know. I pulled the headphones out of the laptop and it seems to be working now, all right. So it's obviously something.
What about fans going to the Jacks and missing a penalty in the 95th minute, Shane?
Can you believe that?
I missed the panel. I only missed the decision. I seen the panel.
Sorry. I take it all back.
Yeah. What did you? It was a decent.
Did you finish your title job? Or?
Yeah. No, I finished. Yeah.
That's all right. No, because we were just thinking. Gotta get out now. Gotta get out.
Yeah, I don't know if the pads were working. I didn't piss in my hand, so I didn't need to wash them.
It's important to get to the bottom of these issues.
Yeah.
Things are going downhill drastically here, lads.
Big time, yeah.
We are. Shane, just give us your thoughts then on Drogheda and their start.
Ah, yeah, no, look, Johnny's hit the nail on the head there. Like, I had to laugh at Kev. Like, Kev is one of the, he's a great fella. He's one of the managers I get on best within the league. But you had to laugh at his whole thing of, you know, everybody's writing us off before a ball is kicked. That's exactly what you want everybody to do, Kevin. Like, let's be honest here. You want everybody giving you no chance whatsoever. And for them to be, you know, for them to be top after six games is absolutely remarkable. I keep saying it every year. Any season where they finish anywhere other than last is an overachievement. And we've got off to an outstanding start. But it doesn't change that the aim is, you know, to finish ideally third last and not even have to face a relegation playoff.
I take seventh right now, like you really would, just to knock it through. Not go through relegation and just to be safe for next season, honestly. But then on the other side of it, if they keep going the way they're going, you could see them challenging for Europe again. Like,
I don't know. I'd be amazed, to be honest with you. I just, you know, like as Johnny says, so often budgets dictate league positions. And for him to steal 2 to 3 spots on where his budget would dictate he should finish is a brilliant job. For him to be challenging for Europe, he needs to steal 6 positions based on where his budget would be. I mean, that would be truly remarkable. But he is doing an outstanding job there. He really is.
Yeah, no, brilliant manager. Like, definitely, he's top class. Like, I'd say we were lucky to hold on to him. I'd say he had offers this year as well. Another point, sorry, just before I go, lads, I want to make. I know it went full time this year, but you think that's like an advantage? I suppose it is in some ways, but we would have lost maybe 1 or 2 players that wanted to stay part time. But now they're training. I think they're training in. They used to train in the Diffie, right, which would be round the corner from the United Park in the evenings, and now they're training. I think in Rathouse on a plastic pitch on a whatever AstroTurf. Yeah, so you're like a couple of injuries. The AstroTurf pitch. I don't know. I hope, like, I think that's an issue as well. Like, we were. You need to be trained on grass if you're going to play on grass.
Yeah, it definitely can have an effect, Nathan. There's no doubt as the season goes on, you would hope that wouldn't count against them. Like, there are some...
I think we'll take that.
Harder surface at it, obviously, with Murray before. And you get, you know, you do get plenty of players like that. And yeah, but look how many... How many teams are training on grass now, Tommy? Probably not a huge amount of them, to be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't know now, to be honest. It's just up my head there recently, but I just thought it was an interesting point. But yeah, look, lads, thanks for having me on. Really enjoyed the content and fucking up the drugs.
All right. Cheers, man. Fair play, Tommy. Fair play. We're going to leave it at that for tonight. Next week, there's the international break. So no League of Ireland fixtures. I see Damien Duff saying the international break coming at just the right time. For Shelburne after that.
Yeah, I'll tell you who could do without that, Nathan. I was trying to make the point there when my stupid microphone wasn't working. Is like, I know a loss is a loss, but those 2 late goals when you're heading into an international break, like that was a killer for Bose. If Bose lose that game 1-0, you know, they can put a positive slant on it. You know, playing against one of the favourites for the league, narrowly beaten. You know, let's get back to hard work now over the next 2 weeks, lads, and we'll bounce with Now, like, those two late goals put such a different slant on the vibe and the feeling around the place. He has his work cut out now, trying to, you know, trying to get the positivity back around that place with such a long break.
Yeah, their next game at home against Galway, and then the week after they're at home against Sligo. So two games at Daily Mount after the international break. So listen, we won't be with you next Friday night, but we will be back the Friday after that. I think our next commentary on News Talk is, it is Shamrock Rovers against Derry City, which is on that Friday night. There's a cracking run of fixtures. And of course, tomorrow night, Sligo against Derry. And as I said, if that finishes in the draw, you've got this mad scenario where you have 6 points separating all 10 teams after six games. It couldn't be any tighter. If you want to listen back, the podcast will be up tomorrow morning. If you want to listen to League of Ireland late night, but it's been a pleasure to be back with you guys. Shane, thank you as ever.
Great stuff, Nathan.
And Johnny Ward, incredibly, we can't get you when you go to a League of Ireland match, but when you're in Cheltenham, somehow you manage to get back in time for League of Ireland late night. So well done.
Wonder who I'm dreaming of tonight. Thanks, Nathan.
God help us all. On that note, good luck.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.